Well, I guess this is going to be about a 10-minute talk. My wife, she probably is giggling. But just a very short talk, so we're not going to have a hymn. We're just going to ask the Lord for his help and blessing. Well, I just want to begin by saying that this is a meditation that's really been the result of about a couple of years of just observing the Lord's ways in my own life. And when about a year and a half or so ago, I decided to retire. I felt like the Lord was opening the door for me to do that. And people would ask me, what do you plan to do with your retirement? And I really didn't know what to say. I mean, how am I going to predict the future? But what I felt like I could say was, well, the Scripture tells me to walk in the Spirit and be led of the Spirit. And I can't say I fully understand exactly how that takes place, but I feel that in some ways there's been some help from the Lord in coming to understand a little bit of what that means. Now, so if we could start off by saying that you don't have to retire in order to learn to be led of the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. But I'd like to just start just with these few meditations in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3 and verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Well, this is maybe the first instance in Scripture where we see the Spirit of God indwelling a man. We see that this was the result of God looking down upon the Lord Jesus, that perfect man, and delighting in him. Here he had taken his place with those that were seeking to get right with God. Those who realized that they had a need for repentance. And those that were coming to John at his baptism, those that were coming with a true heart were right. And the Lord Jesus as a man, even though we know he had no reason to take up the subject of repentance for himself. And yet, it was his desire to be associated with those that had a right heart with God. And so he said, I'm going to take my place with them and associate with them. Well, the Spirit of God was so pleased with that. One of the very first acts of the Lord Jesus in his public ministry, that the Spirit of God descended upon him and he dwelt in the Lord Jesus, and he was the power for his public testimony. Now we turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to see that it's a little bit different with us. God has chosen to give us the Spirit of God. He's chosen to indwell us with the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, in whom ye also trust, in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so here is the way in which God is pleased to come and dwell in us. It's based upon our being associated in faith with the Lord Jesus. That is the reason why you and I can be instructed to live our lives under the control of the Spirit of God. It's not because of anything we have done. It's not that we have satisfied God in a righteous manner ourselves, but we have put our faith and trust in the one who has completely satisfied the heart of God in perfect obedience. And it's by virtue of the value of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I can enjoy the indwelling Spirit of God. We can also enjoy the power of the Spirit of God. You know, God isn't looking for the manifestation of life, those outward displays of his life and nature, apart from the power of the Spirit of God. If we are going to live our Christian lives and display the nature and the glories of God in our lives, it is going to be an accompaniment with the power of the Spirit of God. That is how we are going to display the glories of God in our lives. I just want to now turn to back to Matthew chapter 4. I was struck reading this recently. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I thought this was very interesting, that it was right after the Spirit of God came down and abode on the Lord Jesus, that immediately the Spirit of God leads the Lord Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. God, one of the glories of the Lord Jesus to shine out into this world. And so the Spirit directed the Lord Jesus into the wilderness so that the glories of God could shine in that man, so that he could go into those adverse circumstances and display the life and nature of God and immediately defeat the power of Satan. You know, sometimes I say this because it's just my desire to encourage my brethren that sometimes the circumstances in which the Spirit of God chooses to lead us sometimes will lead us into adverse circumstances. Here the Lord Jesus was led directly into the face of the enemy. But because of the perfection of his nature, the enemy was defeated. Because of his total dependence upon the Word of God, he reversed the results of what took place with the first man. The first man, when he faced the temptations of the enemy, fell. But because of who the Lord Jesus was, God received a perfect display of obedience and victory over Satan. God is looking for the same thing in the lives of each one of us. And sometimes you might say the Spirit of God would lead us into circumstances where there will be testings and where there will be trial, where there will be pain, where there will be difficulty. But what he's looking for is he's looking for the same expression of obedience, of love, of submission. I'm just going to give a little personal, y'all know about it already, but it came to me after this happened in my life that I think that the Spirit of God was behind what happened. You know, a couple of weeks ago, and excuse the personal account, but if I knew your personal accounts, I'd give them, but I only know my personal accounts. So I felt led of the Lord to go and provide a little service and a little help to a family that possibly had some needs. And I felt the Lord was leading me to go down to Florida, two-day drive, and get up on a roof and spend maybe a week or a week and a half just replacing a roof. And I had some desires in my heart. I think the Spirit of God had put them there. It wasn't just to make it so that their house wouldn't leak. That wasn't the only reason why I was going. But the Lord had placed a desire in my heart for the blessing of those in that household. And I told the Lord on the way down, I said, I don't know what you're doing, and I don't know how you're going to accomplish what the desire of my heart. And so I said, do whatever you need to do. And so as the Lord cleared the weather the morning of the job started, and pretty soon we were popping shingles, and we were up against, as we began to expose the roof, the job just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it was going to be a big job. You know, usually you like to pull the shingles off and then cover the roof right back up again, but there was sheets of plywood that are rotten, and so I had another brother in the meeting there. It was about eight guys on the roof, and we were all looking at each other, not quite sure where to go next. And about 2 hours into the job, brother asked me to go get a tool, and that tool was in the dumpster. We had put it there for a specific reason. And so I grabbed one of the guys off the roof, and I said, let's go get that tool out of the dumpster before it gets completely covered up, and we'll never see it again. So we got down in there, and we already had plywood down on top of it and shingles everywhere, and we were struggling to get this tool off. And I looked up on the roof, and there's a couple of guys with a sheet of plywood. And pretty soon I went, oh, too late, sheet of plywood gets thrown into the dumpster, and all of a sudden I realize that it's not God's plan for me to do any more work on that roof. I'm done. I've got a broken ankle, and I got to go to the hospital. And, it was a little bit of a shock, I have to admit. I, you know, it's just like, this is, you're planning to go in this direction, And all of a sudden, you're going in this direction, and you've got nothing to do with this direction anymore. You're done. And you know what? It was an experience that I look back now, and I say, you know, it was an experience that was well worth the experience. It was well worth. You know, God had another plan. He was going to answer my prayer. He had laid a desire on my heart. He was going to answer my prayer, but He was going to answer it in a different way than I had expected. I got to thinking later and I thought, I wonder if the Spirit of God led me to get down in that dumpster. Now, I don't want to be too, but the Spirit of God led the Lord Jesus into the wilderness to face to face with Satan. He knew that the Lord Jesus was going to meet that temptation perfectly. But God has, through His Spirit, ways in which He would choose to accomplish His purposes. And, you know, what I experienced in that experience was I experienced the power of the Spirit of God in that circumstance. There was an ability to accept from the moment it happened that this was God's plan. This was God's plan. I wasn't supposed to be up on the roof anymore. And, you know, when we, I don't say this because I want to say that I did anything right. All I can say is, you know, when we seek to walk in the Spirit and to be led of the Spirit, we shouldn't be surprised that somehow God will accomplish that purpose. You know, each one of us, we go through our life every day. And God has a plan. You know, sometimes we think, well, if I'm going to be led of the Spirit, and if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, then I have to have everything in perfect order. I have to make sure that I'm being obedient to the Word of God. And you know, I'm going to give another little experience that I went through to maybe help us to understand that maybe we're a little bit mistaken when it comes to being led and walking in the Spirit. I was in Denver about three months ago, and I was at a Home Depot. And because of what I do and where I do it all over the place sometimes, I'm at a lot of Home Depots. And so we were getting material for a job, and I went to the restroom. And as I was leaving the restroom, I opened the door, and there's this guy standing right in front of me. And I'm leaning in, and he's leaning in, and we're both trying to get into the restroom at the same time. We begin to do this, like this. And we get closer. Our faces get closer together because we're both leaning in. And we're trying to get out of each other's way or help each other in. I'm not sure. And sometimes I wonder if that's not the way that Spirit of God feels in the believer's life, too. That here we are, we're trying to do the work of the Spirit of God, when maybe it would be a good idea if we would just get out of the way and let Him work. Just walk in the Spirit. Just wait on the Spirit and be led of the Spirit, because He's perfectly capable of leading His children in the path that He would choose in order to get the work that He has in mind to do. And sometimes we just need to believe that He's capable of using these vessels in just whatever way He chooses. You know, I'm just going to, my wife is already right. I can't talk for 10 minutes. But I just want to encourage our hearts. What happens when the Spirit of God is in control in our life? In Romans 8, it calls the Spirit of God the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life. You know, if our life is under the direction and the control of the Spirit of God, you know what's going to be the result? Life. Life. You know, if we take up the Christian life and the energy of the flesh, you know what the result is going to be? Death. But if we allow the Spirit of God control in our life, to lead, to guide, to direct our lives, do you know what the result is going to be? We're going to end up seeing life as a result. Another instance that it speaks of in Romans 8 of the Spirit of God is that the Spirit of God produces the Spirit of Christ. If you and I are led of the Spirit, if you and I walk in the Spirit, the result is going to be that there is going to be a reflection of the Spirit of Christ as the result of our life. You know, he's also the Spirit of adoption. The Spirit of adoption. If we're in the enjoyment of the leading and direction and the working of the Spirit of God in our souls, we're going to have a sense in our souls of what it is to be the sons of God. If we have a sense of what it is to be the sons of God, we will have far more of a tendency to display the characteristics of the sons of God. I just want to encourage us. God is not looking for a divine testimony without divine energy involved. The Spirit of God is a necessary link for there to be evidence of divine life in our soul. The Christian life is not taken up in the energy, wisdom of the first man. The Spirit of God is absolutely essential for there to be a display of the life and nature of God in our lives. And so, you know, as I speak of these things, and I have to say that I know so very little as to the reality of these things. But as I've just desire that the Spirit, that the Lord Jesus would the Lord would make these things real to me. There's sometimes when we look back upon little services or just things that we've done, and we realize, you know, there was an energy and a power in that that didn't come from me. There is a conduct and a reflection that is not reflective of something that is in here. What's happening is there is a working of God through His Spirit. And so as we face the difficulties, as the Spirit of God leads us into the wilderness, we don't know exactly what that's going to mean for each other. But what He's doing is He's leading us into a set of circumstances that He is going to display His own energy and power in and through us to receive, to accomplish the reflection of Christ and the display of divine life. And so I just want to encourage us to realize the importance and the provision. You know, the Spirit of God came from the Father. The Spirit of God came from the Father. It came at the request of the Lord Jesus. It came because the Lord Jesus was leaving us. He was going back to the Father, and He didn't want to leave us without provision. So He asked the Father, "Father, would you send the Spirit?" And the Father sent the Spirit to be a provision. We see in 1 John chapter 2, we see to the little children what the instruction that's given to the little children is an understanding of what provision God gave to them. And that provision was the Spirit of God. So we have a wonderful resource, a wonderful provision for the Christian life in order that we can display the glories of God in this world for His glory.